Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Officer Dave.
Much better.
There we go. Super Dave. I like Super Dave better than Officer Dave.
You do,
Dave.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Officer Dave, I'm not going to say sounds more like we're in Maybury.
That's where I was, pretty much where I was a cop for a long time, Josh.
We're a big, it was on for a very long time.
Yep.
That is true. Super Dave, I think, speaks to your strength, your intensity, and your size.
Oh, okay. As long as it's not demeaning, we're good.
As long as it's not ironic.
There's no... I mean, there are occasionally that I am sarcastic.
Oh, no, you?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, on occasion can be a little bit sarcastic and facetious, but not when I'm talking about Super Dave or Rye Andy Bernard.
I do my best.
W-R-Y.
Well, also
Rye,
the other kind of rye.
Of humor.
Like the rye bread?
No, oh, that's R-Y-E.
Yep. And rye bread's good stuff, too.
Yep.
And rye bread is very, very good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was looking for some good rye bread, Crossroads Deli has very good rye bread.
I've heard good things about that place.
Cecil's Deli in St. Paul has very good rye bread.
Pretty far away.
And when I'm looking for good rye bread, those are the two places that I go to.
Yeah, for Andy and I out in the Tiggleweeds, that's kind of a haul.
Yeah,
for
St.
us.
Paul's like, it's probably an hour drive.
Yep.
At least. I wonder,
pretty
actually.
Pretty close. Well, it's an hour from my house to my brother's house in River Falls, so.
Let's see, Cecil.
Well, and now we'll just throw that from, that's about the time it takes to get from Ben Gurion Airport, just outside of Tel Aviv, to downtown Jerusalem in traffic.
Well, all right then.
There you go.
There you go. Just in terms of, because Israel's in the news a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
really, I haven't heard anything about Israel lately.
What's Israel?
But I pay attention to it. I pay attention to Israel because I have friends who live there, friends who travel there. I have traveled there. It is a fascinating place to go to. And if you haven't been, that is a place that I would put on your bucket list,
yeah, my,
so to speak.
My
to
wife
to.
Would be big on going to the Holy Land for sure. But
oh, yeah?
I'm deathly afraid of 8 hours in a flying tube.
Yeah, that's a long
for a guy
flight.
My size.
Well, I'll tell
miserable.
You what.
Mm-hmm.
If you invest with me, and this is not an implied guarantee at all, but if you were to invest with me over time, I believe through some investing, looking for companies that can grow their sales and earnings over time, I think we can generate enough appreciation that would pay for your ticket, first class.
First class is, I mean, even first class at your size is not going to be terrible. Unless first row.
First row.
I will fly first row any day because you get so much leg room. You can stretch your legs out. You got a lot of room to, like, you know, set your stuff up. But on my even first class, this first class room now is what coach was when I was a kid.
Okay.
And what coach is now was against the Geneva Convention. So
the problem with me isn't as much the length as the width?
That first class is wider. It's much wider, in fact.
Okay.
You'd probably be okay there.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're still tall enough that, you know, you can't stand up in a plane except for the aisle.
No. Yeah. And even in the aisles, I can't.
Even in the aisles, it's going to be tough on some planes, yeah.
So.
Well, that's what happens when you were blessed with height.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real blessing sometimes.
Sometimes it's a curse. Sometimes it's a blessing.
Yep. Reaching things, I mean, no problem.
I mean, I'm one of the taller people in my family.
Yeah, you're like, well, you got to be 6'2 or something.
Well, my son is 6'2.
Wow.
You know, that's son number one. Son number two is, and he might have one time been 5'8½, but that's when he had hair. You know, but at one time I was 5'11", but never could get to 6 feet.
Oh, I thought you were taller.
Nope.
Maybe I've shrunk more than I thought.
One of the things that I told Super Dave last week was we were leaving the place. I feel taller when I'm around Super Dave, and even I feel taller when I'm around you because I'm forced to stretch my spine a little bit more.
Standing up straight is a big benefit.
Yep.
But, you know, next to you guys, I'm a midget.
I'm 5'11"-ish.
My oldest is a 6'4", and my middle guy, when he went away to school, was 6'2", 6'3", and he's like, I'm the shortest guy in the family.
Well, you're going to be the tallest kid in your class regardless, so don't worry too much about
there it. There you go.
So you're how much tall are you?
I have been 6'4". I think I'm probably down to about 6'3" now with age and compression and
so
all
that. So you're
about
the same size as your tallest kid.
Yep.
That makes sense. I wonder how common it is to have a kid that is taller than both parents.
I think it's probably becoming more and more common.
Yeah, kids do seem to be getting taller, don't
they? Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is. Barron Trump is a famous example. The kid's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, if you see pictures of him next to his parents, he towers over them. He's a whole head taller than Trump is.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Something about nutrition.
Something got in the genetic pool there somewhere.
Or the water
family, or
the water supply.
Yeah.
They say all the hormones and the food and everything, but I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yep. No.
It is better. I do believe it is better nutrition.
It's
and a good portion is part of your genes.
Genes are the number one.
That one of that Trump's wives are taller than he is.
Melania is about the same height as he is. How about Ivana? Ivana is, she's a little shorter than him, probably half a head.
Okay.
But his kids are all pretty tall.
Well.
Yeah, Ivanka is about the same height as him.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably confusing Ivana and Ivanka.
Yeah, so there's plenty in the gene pool to generate some height.
Yep,
definitely. But, you know, my dad was 6'2", but my dad was solid meat. I mean, you know, as big as my hands are, his were twice as thick and just massively strong.
Polish farmer stock.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. In that North Woods, growing up in the North Woods of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Where you went to work at 8 years old and contributed to the family, Depression area.
And to pull out trees out of the ground by hand. Jim wants to know what the most comfortable police car is.
Oh.
Assuming you have options, how many different cruisers do you have?
Well, it depends. The department will buy whatever's the cheapest.
Makes sense.
Honestly, the most comfortable squad car I ever drove was the old Crown Vic.
That makes sense. They're pretty big.
There was tons of room in there. And then, you know, we kind of switched over to Explorers and...
Didn't they use Chargers for a while?
We had Chargers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Chargers for a while. And they weren't horrible, but the getting in and out part was the worst.
I drove a Charger for about a year, and it's very, very low.
Yep. And then you put... you know, a vest on and belt on and all that other stuff. And
mm-hmm.
You run out of room really quick.
Do they make the Crown Vic anymore?
No,
they have
don't.
Not for 13 years.
Yep.
Huh.
But it was cheap. It was easy to fix and could hold up to a nuclear blast, I think, some of them things.
Yeah, for real.
But, yeah, no, I had a 2011 Charger for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the fastest car I've ever driven in my life.
Yeah, I liked trying to get up sloped driveways in the winter.
It wasn't fun, was it?
Sometimes I had to park on the street. I was like, I can't get home. I'll just walk up my driveway.
Yep, that and then they went to the Explorers, and the Explorers were a little better, a little more room. But again, it's still that slide my big wide rear end in and out is mm-hmm. the hard part.
Yep.
Even with all the gear on and whatnot on.
Josh, can you turn the TV off in that room?
The TV off?
Yes.
Let us do that.
You probably can't hear it because you have headphones in.
Yeah.
Still.
There.
There we go.
Is that better?
Nice yep. and quiet.
Now we don't hear it going.
Can't hear the TV, and there's no Jude snoring in the background, so it's the quietest the show's been in a while. Yeah, people start. My mom's dog Jude he's got pneumonia now.
Is it pneumonia?
It's graduated to pneumonia, so they're going to put him on antibiotics and et cetera. So, but he's always been a very loud snorer, but it's much louder lately.
Uh-huh.
So people are starting to comment. They're like. You can hear Jude snoring in the background. That's how you know it's the authentic family experience.
There you go.
It's definitely authentic. Definitely authentic. Now, nice. I'm going to ask you, what do you think? Because we started having earnings this week, and we didn't start having earnings this week. It's been ongoing, but this past week, 29% of the S&P 500 reported their earnings. And I'm not going to say they were all over the place, but they were all over the place. Companies that did not report better than expected earnings and or had caution in their guidance and or decided they were going to spend a lot of money were punished. Those companies that... we'll say surprised on the upside, guided up, they were well rewarded. When we talk about cars, we had General Motors reporting, and they did a little bit better than expected. Their guidance wasn't so good. Their stock went up a little bit, came down. Not a stock that I would like to be in. They had an adverse effect on Ford. And then there was Tesla, which started the big week of technology earnings. Tesla is considered by many more of a tech company than a car company.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Tesla as a car company, and Tesla had some major issues.
That's what I hear.
Major issues. They missed their numbers, top line and bottom line. So sales were down, earnings were down. They're going to be spending some more money. The stock had been down significantly for the year, like 40%, which is a pretty big hit.
That's a big jump. Yeah.
Tech company, and during the conference call, Tesla stock started going up as Elon Musk talked about robo-taxis. And as he talked about robo-taxis, analysts got all excited about Tesla. Oh, my goodness, they're going to have robo-taxis. They'll probably come out tomorrow. And what is that going to do to Uber and Lyft? I better sell Uber and Lyft. But we still have a very long way to go till you get robo-taxis. So Uber and Lyft are still going to be in business. My question to you, since I had this question, Super Dave, about what is your favorite police cruiser? Have you driven a Tesla? And what do you think the likelihood of cities using Teslas for police vehicles or even emergency response vehicles?
Well, I have never driven one, mm-hmm. and I don't see me ever driving one. I know Eden Prairie has one.
Okay.
For a squad car. I would be rather nervous taking that and getting into a pursuit or anything with that. Simply for the fact that when you're putting that much power to the ground, your battery life is dwindling very rapidly. I don't know how sustainable it is. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how whenever the squad car gets to 3/4 of a tank, we're topping it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. you get in that situation where all of a sudden you're burning a ton of gas, and next thing you know, you're SOL because you're out of gas.
Well, these days, the Teslas they have up to 400 miles.
Is it up to 400 now?
There's a specific, the Model S long range gets up to 400 miles. I mean, you know, it's more than my car gets, I think. Well, it's about the same as my car on a full tank.
But now how long does it take to charge that when I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, all right, and I go to one football game in Green Bay every year. How long does it take to charge it? You drive it over to Green Bay, 300 miles. How long does it take to charge it to drive it the 300 miles back?
Yeah, that's the thing. It depends, because there's three different levels of charging when it comes to electric cars, because we just got a hybrid minivan.
Okay.
So we're all familiar. We're familiar with the charging levels and everything. So level one charging means you just plug it into an outlet and, you know, you get standard mains power, same that powers anything in your house.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredibly slow. Our minivan, it has a battery. The range is only 30 miles.
Okay.
So it's for, like, you know, city local driving, which is all we need it for.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we barely ever kick the gas engine on because mm-hmm. we rarely go more than 30 miles in a day.
Right.
But 30 miles takes 12 hours to charge. So, yeah, we have to charge it overnight, and it's good for the next day. So that's fine for us. But if you can imagine a 400-mile battery, it would take days. It would take a week to charge. Level one charging, if you're talking about just plugging it into an outlet, it's worthless when it comes to electric cars.
Right.
Don't even bother, to be honest.
And see, I'm not opposed to hybrids as much as I am all electric.
Yeah, I like the hybrid thing.
My son's got one of those Ford Fusion hybrids,
mm-hmm.
and he never drives.
Exactly.
He works from home. Mm-hmm. Occasionally has to go into work if he's training somebody else in or needs something to do something at the office. But I'm all for something like that because they have the regenerative braking and all the cool stuff. But that's, for me, what I would use it for. I don't know that I would ever get a... I still like to hear my V8s
when
I go down the road.
You don't, the first time we got in this new car, we were like, why isn't it turning on? It did turn on. Uh-huh. It's just completely silent. So it's weird.
Yeah.
But looks like a Model S with maximum charging, which would be like the special Tesla charger
mm-hmm.
you can get installed in your house or, you know, you pull up to certain targets, have them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You see them every once in a while. Still takes 7 hours to charge.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if you maybe like if the Packers Stadium has Tesla chargers, you know, you plug it in, but you're only going to get half a battery by the time the game's over.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not going to work for you.
Right.
So, even going one state away with an electric car, it takes a long time to charge these things.
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
Yep. No, I was coming home from school the other night. It was a cool night, and I didn't even turn the radio on. I just listened to the engine. It was so beautiful. So that's.
Yeah, the cool thing about how the what we have works is, so one of the biggest energy losses when it comes to a car is braking.
Because
when you brake, you're turning all of that momentum into heat, which just gets dissipated out through the brakes.
Right.
So it's a complete waste. And how ours does it is the braking charges the battery, which then is used to run the car.
Yep.
So even when you're on gas, your battery's completely depleted, you're on gas, you're still charging the battery, using the battery, charging the battery, using the battery. So you're still getting like 36, I think, miles a gallon on just gas in a gigantic minivan.
Right.
So that's cool. That's the way to go, because my little car gets like 34. That thing's pretty small and it's very efficient, but it's still that braking really.
That makes it that regenerative braking makes a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference.
And I'm a fan of that. I've got I know a guy who's got a few Porsche 918 Spiders, and he drives them out in the mountains. He drives them all the time, and he says he was getting out of gas and out of battery, so he ended up pushing the car to turn it around and rolled her back down the mountain to recharge the battery to get into town to get gas.
Well, yeah, I guess that works.
It worked for him, so.
Mm-hmm. Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yeah, but the problem is, of course, it adds, you know, $10,000 to the upfront cost.
Exactly.
So you have to weigh the good. But you get a $7,500 federal credit. So, I mean, you know.
So you're actually only paying another $2,500.
Yeah, we probably paid like an extra $2,500, $5,000 over a regular Pacifica.
And see, I would have probably on my truck gone diesel, but I couldn't justify the $8,000 cost to go to the diesel engine.
Is it that much?
It was that much to get the biggest diesel engine over the biggest gas engine.
We had a diesel truck when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Very loud, very smelly.
And see, they're not like that anymore.
No?
No.
Well, this was 30 years ago.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Exactly. No.
Hmm. Yeah.
And talk about power.
You know, that's the thing is diesel is a very high power fuel.
Yep.
I don't know why they went over to gasoline? There's got to be some reason.
I think.
Because gasoline is harder to make than diesel, I believe.
Yeah. Diesel's easy.
Yeah. So it's like, how is it more expensive and more rare? But the way it burns, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yep.
Used to be cheaper, but
it
not
did.
Anymore.
It used to be the cheap fuel, and now it's the expensive fuel. So go. Well, it's because it's not made as much anymore. Supply is very low.
Right.
Because it's like, how often, like, when's the last time any of us have bought diesel? I cannot even
remember. Well, the last time I was with my number one son, because he's got a diesel truck.
No, there you go. But it's still not something you do on a daily basis or even a probably yearly basis.
No.
No, it's when you're driving with him, it's okay, which gas station might have cheaper diesel fuel?
Right.
And it's not by much.
Yeah. No, it's, I'd 100% go diesel if I could again, but that $8,000 at the time was cost prohibitive.
Yep, and you're not going to get any federal
no, they're not going to give you any
rebates on diesel.
No pats on the back from the government for that one.
So speaking of federal mishaps, Josh, I'm guessing you're not a fan of the potential increase in capital gains tax coming up.
No.
Yeah, because he wants it to go up to like what, 45 or something almost?
Oh, even if it goes, I think that there has been talk to raise the capital gains tax back to ordinary income rates. And if you raise it to ordinary income rates, depending on your income, and you max out both state and federal, you can get close to 50% tax on that.
So Biden's proposal is a 44.6, very specific number, capital gains tax federally. And that's just federal. So some states also have capital gains tax. So basically capital gains would become basically useless for most people.
Well, it's not only basically useless, it really defeats the purpose of taking capital gains.
Well, exactly. It's if they're going to take 60% of it.
Anytime you raise the tax rate, you get less of it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of raising capital gains taxes is to punish, and I do believe this, it is to punish those people who have had success in creating a business.
100%.
Because, and this is just a personal feeling that I have had. So it's a feeling and emotion more than anything else, that this particular administration or most Democrats that I have talked to are not pro-business. They are pro-government.
Right.
And government does not generate any, I'm not going to say they don't generate any revenue. They don't create any revenue.
It's all purely managerial, basically.
It's, we collect money and we redistribute that money after we take expenses out to pay for, we'll say, salaries administration, but there is no wealth creation from the government. Many in the government will say, well, we create a lot of wealth by our laws, and we encourage through our laws people to save and invest in certain ways. But when you raise the capital gains tax, and again, this is pushed because it's unfair that there are people like Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Tom Bernard, Josh Arnold, who have built businesses, small or large, and they have accumulated some wealth wealth through, we'll say, stock ownership, because that's easy to see. Oh, look at that. Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, they're the, well, Jeff Bezos is probably richer today than Elon Musk, because Elon Musk, value of his stock went down. How would this be? Mark Zuckerberg, when Meta reported their earnings on Wednesday night, they did pretty well, but Meta said, we're going to be spending up to $40 billion to develop out our generative AI. And the market said, that's a big raspberry. And Meta stock, also Meta owns Facebook, Instagram, Reels, WhatsApp, and a few other properties. Meta stock dropped $75 a share. Whoa. At the end of yesterday, Meta was only down 10%, but Mark Zuckerberg lost $16 billion of net worth when the stock dropped that much. That's a significant amount of money.
Yeah, it sure is.
Anytime you say B, that's a significant amount. Yes.
Heck, I would say even T. Sometimes,
oh, yeah.
Not in trillions, but in thousands. Yeah. You know, that can hurt people. My point of this is, you raise taxes on capital gains, people will hold on to, they'll hold on to their stocks, they'll hold on to their real estate, they'll hold on to their businesses, and the government will not collect the money that they thought that they would collect in order to fund some of their programs, because it's only fair that we, quote unquote, level the playing field so that everybody has the same opportunity for money. Now, there are going to be people who say, oh, we've got to vote this way for higher taxes on the wealthy. And then it comes to somebody selling their house. And they've got to pay tax on that. And, oh, geez, we're in a different tax bracket altogether. Or maybe somebody has a small business and they go to liquidate that business or sell it to somebody else. Oh, my gosh, 1 year, their income goes up significantly and they lose half the value of that sale. Are they going to want to sell that business? It is one of the most horrible ideas around. And just to, and there is no economist around that can tell me that raising capital gains taxes is going to create more money coming into the federal government. Will not happen. And all you have to do is prove the number of times that capital gains taxes have been reduced and the amount of money that the federal government has raised. Because money, people say, oh, my tax on capital is less. Fine, I am going to be able to sell, realize that profit, and the economy starts growing. It happened under a guy named John Kennedy. It happened again with capital gains taxes reduced during the Nixon administration, and a big reduction in capital gains took place during the Reagan years. Money increased into the federal coffers, and it happened again during the George W. Bush administration. And again, during the Trump administration, more money came in just by lowering tax rates. So raising taxes is an effort to punish those that are successful is, another form to me of virtue signaling, but it does nothing really to solve the government's spending problem, mm-hmm. and or reduce the debt.
Well, and the other thing is,
okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
What's in it for these people to stay in America at a certain point? Because if all of their wealth is getting taken, then, you know, if I was Zuckerberg or Musk or whatever, I'd be running all my business out of some other country that doesn't take anything.
Yeah, a lot of people would, oh, geez, we can move to the Bahamas.
Yep,
we
exactly.
We can move to Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that. At New York, state of New York, raise taxes on the wealthy. Oh, the wealthy in New York are primarily in financial services businesses, which includes, we'll say, stock trading. So the big brokerage houses, the big banks, and many of the hedge funds. All of a sudden, they are decamping to low tax states like
mm-hmm.
Florida.
Yep, they sure
Texas,
are.
Texas, Tennessee, the Carolinas.
New York's losing like 1% of its population a year at this point, I think.
Right.
People are just fleeing it.
And the people that they are losing are high income
yep.
Individuals and or high income businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And these are brain power businesses, and they're leaving. California has the same issue. Why, I just saw this little company, I think it was started in California, Oracle. They're going to report their earnings the next two weeks, but they're moving. They had moved one of their headquarters to Texas, and they're moving another headquarters to Nashville, Tennessee. Huh. Tennessee, Texas, low tax states.
Yep. Yeah, I looked at a map of states by population growth over the past couple of years, and mm-hmm. it's basically all of the South is growing like crazy. The Dakotas, like Montana, Wyoming, you know, so the South and the mountain states, they're growing like crazy, and the rest of the country is losing people, which it's unusual for a state to lose people, but people are fleeing by the millions because of these, I think largely because of these oppressive financial laws, taxes, and that sort of thing.
It's generally the blue states are escaping to the red states.
Yep, that is what's happening.
Now, the negative is that people leaving the blue states who may be wealthy, who voted blue,
yep.
moving to a red state
are still going to vote
lower
blue.
Taxes.
Yep.
They're still going to vote blue.
Makes no
and
sense.
And I get a kick out of that. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I know I have a cousin who left, who worked for Boeing and left Washington. She lived in Seattle. Seattle, a very blue city, high taxes. She retires, doesn't want to stay in the high tax place because she's got a lot of Boeing stock. She moves to Florida. Why did you move to Florida? You know, you still have family in Seattle. Your daughters live in Colorado. Why not move to Colorado? Nope, moving to Florida has the lowest state tax, low taxes on investments and investment income.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see that. How are you going to vote? You know, DeSantis is a piece of shit. Yeah. I'm going to vote for somebody other than DeSantis.
I'm going to move to greener pastures.
I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for any. I couldn't see voting for any Republican. Oh, so let me get this straight. You liked the progressive administrations, but you weren't willing to pay for it with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that puzzled look. Well, this is my money. I want to keep my money. All right. So if you want to keep your money, why do you keep voting for people who want to take your money away and redistribute it to somebody else?
I just don't get people who move somewhere and then immediately start trying to change it
to what they left.
Yeah. It's like, so you moved there because you like it. Yep. Shouldn't you want to leave preserve it as is? The yeah. things you like? Why are you immediately trying to change it? Very confusing.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I saw that Edina. You know, I know every day I need attention, but, you know, I moved to Edina from Minneapolis. One, it was changes at the time that Minneapolis was making with schools. So they were in my little district of southwest Minneapolis. They were closing elementary schools, and they were big on busing kids from southwest Minneapolis to north Minneapolis for because it was only fair. I'm thinking, you're going to bus kids minimally 45 minutes each way. An hour, you're going to put a kid on a bus for an hour and a half a day? For what purpose? And then there was the issue with cleaning the streets in the winter, snow removal. And I walked over a few blocks in the winter. And geez, the Edina's, they were collecting snow with garbage trucks. The snow fell and they were collecting it. Up, we're going to, don't even have to shovel. We just
go throw that garbage in the
truck anyway.
Throw that snow in the garbage.
So I moved across. Well, they moved across France Avenue to Edina, but it was, we'll say schools and snow removal more than anything. But I also found that I got more house for the money, and my taxes. Property taxes at that point were a quarter. And there were a few other positive things with that. And Edina was more red at that time than blue. Well, as other, I'll say not my neighbors, but other people we knew who were extremely liberal, when their kids got into Minneapolis City Schools, they started saying, oh, we don't want to be here. Too many issues. Our kids are being bused. There are too many other problems. And, oh, by the way, our property taxes are going through the roof. Yep. They moved to Edina. Edina has gone from we'll say red to purple, and in some parts of it, of Edina, very, very blue. And all of a sudden, my property taxes in Edina have been rising. So there you go. That's people who are moving to escape higher taxes to even a lower property tax neighborhood, bringing their ideas. And that costs a lot of money, and everybody else has to pay for it.
Yep.
No, 100%. But it's always somebody else has got to pay for it. It's never us, right?
Well, I've talked to some of those people and say, well, geez, Josh, you know, you do well. You should be paying more money. It's only fair. It's always a matter of fairness or equity.
God forbid he be successful.
I always thought equity gave you ownership in something. That was equity. You got ownership, and in order to get ownership, you had to put up equity. You had to put up some money. Equality is great. Equality of opportunity. We all start on the same starting line. Now, I do realize that some people come from, you know, from better circumstances than others. So for those people, maybe they can start a little bit behind the starting line. We have a handicapped race. But even in a handicapped race, faster runners tend to prevail.
That is a good point.
But in that case, if somebody's talking about raising taxes or raising tariffs, that's another one that eats at me. Well, we have to raise tariffs because that helps certain businesses. Not necessarily. Again, you raise tariffs, you're going to end up raising prices. You raise taxes, you get less of them. So lower capital gains taxes do breed more money.
Yep, they certainly do. Going back to the EV discussion quickly, just for one second, because it's a interesting new unit of measurement was invented by our listener, Jim. He says his regeneratively charged golf cart gets 36 holes per gallon.
I like it.
Brand new one.
I like it.
36 holes a gallon.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And he can move down to some of the golf communities in Florida and drive that regenerative golf cart.
There you go.
Around.
Yep. And there's a whole lot of that. Lot of that in Florida, believe me.
Yeah.
People drive golf carts everywhere.
Well, see, that was where I worked. People wanted to be able to drive their golf carts everywhere. And it's like, no, they must be registered vehicles with a license plate.
Are they street legal?
They can be.
They're not highway legal.
Not highway legal. Minimum or the top speed has got to be over 35, 40 miles per hour, I believe.
I would not want to go 40 miles an hour in a golf cart.
No, but I mean, that's scary. What it takes. And one family actually did the work and the research, found out what golf cart fit all the needs, all the signals, all the everything else, and registered it, insured it, put the blue license plate on it, and they're the only family in town that can drive down the streets on their little golf cart.
No, why not?
And everybody's like, well, they get to. And I'm like, oh, they also have the blue license plate. It's registered and insured.
Put the work in.
Yep.
And then you can do it too.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. How about this? Just going back to my learning from my dad here, we're going to read from Wise Brother. This is where he gets, whenever he says, like, this just popped up on my screen, what he means is, I'm reading Wise Brother. And
okay.
This is what's on it. So, America is divided about whether or not to wash new clothes before wearing them.
Ooh.
What do you think? We always do.
Always. I have a very strong fabric softener allergy.
Oh, yeah.
So we do a lot of the free and clear stuff.
Yeah, we use free everything.
Yep.
Everything's
so,
just natural, et cetera, et cetera.
Everything gets washed before it gets worn.
Oh, but the thing about clothing is when you buy it, just like off the rack or whatever, you know, you buy a pair of jeans at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have been trying those jeans on. You don't know when the last time they showered or, you know, took their medicine for their crabs infestation. You know, just throw it in the washing machine. Just be safe.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't. But apparently 51% of people do not.
Wow. I'm a wash guy first. We were at my mom's house, and one of my dad's, it was colder than it was supposed to be, and one of my dad's old sweatshirts, oh, that'll work. Put it on, and I got turned red immediately.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. As red as Josh's shirt. My
That's pretty red.
My arms and neck got, and it was like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's how I learned I have a fabric softener allergy.
I don't think I've ever used fabric softener.
Yeah, it was brutal. I was miserable.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Yep.
So now you wash everything.
Everything gets washed in free and clear stuff, and I'm comfortable as can be.
Yep.
All good.
So now, Josh, I heard you tease on Tuesday that the Fed is not going to, considering not cutting the interest rate.
How do you like that? I'm glad that you were listening.
Or not.
I always listen to you, Josh.
Thank you. No, the Fed is still on the higher for longer.
Mm-hmm.
The economic numbers that have come out still show inflation. This week we had and this sent the stock market, among other things, sent the stock market down big yesterday, that being Thursday. The numbers coming from the economic numbers still show that there was inflation, still show that people were spending money. It still showed the gasoline was up. The personal consumption expenditure index was up higher than the Fed likes. So inflation is not really coming down. The only thing in economic indicators that might be positive is the GDP number came in below expectations, only up 1.6%. Versus estimates of 2.5%. Consumers were spending a little bit less money. So consumption was down, but the inflation number is still up, and Fed governors have been talking about not cutting rates. They're now talking about increasing rates because inflation is still sticky.
Yep.
Plus, the employment number unemployment is still low, even though the jobs participation rate is at 62.5%. So a lot of people have chosen not to work or are not part of the workforce. So the unemployment rate is down and wages are up. So if the Fed is saying, we really don't need to cut, number one. And number two, we're going to hold off cutting until the data shows that inflation is down at our 2% target rate.
So
the likelihood of that happening in the next 8 months, I think, is pretty low. So I think the Fed is going to continue jawboning on this, and I do not believe the Fed is going to actually act on cutting interest rates, and definitely the Fed does not want to cut interest rates before the election, because then they'll be seen as influencing the election, and they're supposed to be nonpartisan. So after the election, mm-hmm. should inflation be close to 2% and or the economy has stalled out? So instead of the GDP number being at plus 1.6%, if the GDP number is, I'll say, at 0.6% or minus 0.6%, then the Fed might act. But I don't see the Fed acting at all on cutting rates. That said, the stock market has started to adapt to no cuts in interest rates and just focus in on what companies are doing. And I think even companies are starting to adjust. Okay, Fed is not going to be cutting interest rates. If this is what the mortgage rate is right now, it just at 7% or just under 7%, and I need a house, I'm going to go buy a house. If companies need to borrow money, they're going to go out and borrow money, whatever the mm-hmm. rate is. We'll say it's at 4.5%. And if you are a bond holder owning corporate bonds, yes, you're going to get a higher yield than you would have a few years ago, but you're not going to get any capital appreciation, unless the Fed starts cutting rates, and that would push bond prices up and yields down. I mean, right now, year to date, the bond indices are negative, that being based on their prices. So you're actually losing money investing in bonds because the rates are still up.
Well, hey, the good news is we might be able to buy war bonds again soon. So those are always a good time.
Yeah, the government says, well, we need all this money, so mm-hmm. we're going to issue more debt. But the debt, the amount of debt that's outstanding relative to the economy is pretty, pretty high.
Yep.
And sure I know is. That the government says, well, the only way we can bring down all this debt is to tax people more. I'm saying, well, good luck with that.
It's been working really well the past 4 years.
Yeah, your taxes have gone up and your spending has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Usually you have to do one or the other. You can't do both.
And, this is, the last time somebody put in a guns and butter policy, inflation really took off. And that was in the late 60s into the 70s.
And what the hell is guns and butter?
Thank you.
We're going to be spending a lot of money on war. That at that time was the Vietnam War. Yeah. So a lot of money was spent on that. And we're going to spend a lot of money on welfare programs.
Well, that is exactly what we're doing right now. So, yeah.
And that was during the Johnson administration.
Yep.
Okay. One last question for you, Josh.
Okay.
How is Lotta Doe doing?
Lotta Doe is doing great. He looks, for a 1 week old child.
Yeah, they don't usually look great.
He looks great. He makes faces. He makes noise. He is attached to his mother in the right way, and he's gaining weight.
Awesome.
That's what you want.
And his mother said, when can we start an account for a lot of dough?
Technically, once he gets
as soon as you get
Social Security number,
get that Social Security number, we'll set up that account for a lot of dough.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Yeah,
he's got 10 figures, 10 toes.
10 figures.
Wow. Or 10 figures.
A lot more than I got.
Fingers.
That's it. He's going to have, that's why we call him a lot of dough. Yep.
10 figures. That's a pretty good, that's a pretty good amount of dough.
Now, for me, a lot of dough sits between my elbow and my fingertips.
Nice.
Yep. That's about
so
right.
So I held them that way. My daughter went ballistic. You can't hold them like that. I said, girl, I held you like that. I held your brothers like that. Yep. He's not going to fall. He is fine. Fine.
Yep. No,
we're all happy to have them.
when our kids were born, they all fit between my wrist and my elbow.
Yep.
Well, see, I told you, you're bigger than I am.
So, yep.
I'm just a shrimp by comparison. But it's great. It's great to see him, and it's great to see my daughter and son-in-law and how they're doing. They're with a lot of dough, and they're going to be great parents.
Awesome. Very
so
good.
We've taken a lot of dough out for a walk in the neighborhood.
Wow.
We'll do that again.
Huh?
A lot of dough has been out. A lot of dough had a walk in Central Park. While my daughter and son-in-law were at a postnatal recovery center,
mm-hmm.
which was, I'll say it was up on the upper west side of New York. They live on the lower west side of New York. So yesterday we took a little cruise around the neighborhood, and it was fine. And a little later today, we'll take another cruise around the neighborhood.
That's
and a
cool.
lot of dough liked the sounds so much that he was snoring.
get him exposed to that stuff early. Then they aren't so jumpy. And
well, our first week, we just didn't really want to do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that was my mom and dad were when, I guess, the stories I heard was that when I was born, David's sleeping, we got to be quiet. And friends who had already had kids, no, make noise, get them used to it.
That's what we did, yeah. We never did the whole quiet house during the day thing.
Yep.
It's like when it was nighttime, sure, but yeah, during the day, it's like he would just be like sleeping next to me and I'd be like playing a game or something.
Yep.
Full volume, well, not like, you know, maximum volume, normal volume.
Normal volume, yep.
So yeah, he'd be hearing all these like, you know, explosion sounds and stuff. And didn't bother him at all.
Nope. He'll sleep through the night quicker. They'll sleep through the night quicker that way.
Yeah, and he did. He slept very well.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yep.
So are you, you're going to be back next week?
I will be back next week because I've got to talk about Apple's earnings, which come out next Thursday night. And that always gives me a little nervousness prior to Apple's earnings, as that's my biggest position, my client's biggest position. Not a lot is expected from Apple when they report. Their guidance, I don't think, is going to be very enthusiastic. It'll probably be as conservative as normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stock, which is currently at $170 a share, could drop $10 or go up $10 on the earnings call. Some of it will be based on longer term guidance and questions about when are you going to have a specific generative artificial intelligence strategy out, and what kind of new products are going to be coming out sooner rather than later. Apple is going to be introducing middle of May some new iPads, which could be interesting. They've introduced their new Macintosh computers with an M4 chip that's coming out later this year. And you have the Worldwide Developers Conference coming in June, and there is belief that Apple will be talking more about their generative AI at that point in time. The downside with Apple, of course, is, oh, China is bad. This was kind of funny, at least to me. A report earlier this week, Apple is losing share in China, and Xiaomi is taking share from Apple. Yet when the statistics came out, where was Xiaomi relative to Apple in terms of China sales? Xiaomi was still way below Apple in terms of China smartphone sales. Apple is still number three behind two very low-cost models, and Apple is ahead of Xiaomi and several other Chinese manufacturers in China. Apple still has a 15.7% market share in China of smartphones. So I think that's still pretty good. So we'll talk about that. Also want to talk about Amazon's earnings, which come out Tuesday night. Much is going to be looked at Amazon to see what their Amazon Web Services is doing. And if that is growing growing better than 15% this quarter, that'd be good. Both Google and Microsoft reported last night, and they did better than expected. Google especially with their AI product, and Google's stock today hit an all-time high. Microsoft stock also went up, but they're just coming back to where they were earlier this week. So plenty of earnings coming out next week. We'll also have to talk about DraftKings numbers, and that'll be interesting to see how sports betting held up in the first quarter and what portends for the summer months and then into the fall. So that I will be there to discuss those things and more.
Perfect.
Cool.
And maybe Tom will show up for work for once.
Maybe he will.
Maybe.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he'll be too busy buying the new iPad.
Well, that does not come out till mid-May.
Mid-May. Okay. We got a couple weeks
mid-May.
Then.
He's got a couple weeks. In the meantime, if anybody really wants to discuss corporate earnings and how they affect you, they can call me at 952-925-5608.
Well, all right. Perfect way to end the show. We will.
You got it.
We will be back on Monday, and we will see everybody then.
See you, Josh. Travel
look
safe.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much, Super Dave, Rye, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself out on stage. We're looking forward to it. I'll be right front and center when you go on for your next stand-up.
Yes, I'm sure it'll happen any day now.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.